This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, Boomer Geo, coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets one win away from going to the NLCS for the first time since 2015, the last time they were in the NLCS. It was pretty fun. It was really fun. A sweep of the Chicago Cubs, but it's a long way to go. And I, in talking to Andrew Perloff, who apparently came into the studio yesterday after the show and just completely trashed it, and we're going to have to talk to him about that. But Andrew Perloff of Maggie and Perloff down the hall on in the Upside Down Infinity Sports Network, he said, yeah, I'm a Phillies fan. I'm like, yeah, I know you're a Phillies fan. Like, I get the whole thing. And he's like, I just can't believe, you know, going to lose to this team. I said, this is not over. There's going to be an epic baseball game or two that are left here. Now, I am confident and I expect the Mets to win. But the thing, I mean, one thing would shock me if you had another one of these games that you had last night tonight. Like, if you had the Mets dominate the Phillies and just smack them around and send them back, that would surprise me. I expect the Mets to win, but I expect it to be like a nail-biting, crazy, heartbeat-level, BPM-through-the-roof type of
and this situation. This is why we get so enamored and knee-deep into sports, is because of these feelings that we had last night when Pete hit that home run, and then Winker hits the home run, and then they tack on more runs, and Manaea's getting strikeouts. How about the play from Walker in center field?
Yeah.
Throwing Bohm out. That was great.
Taylor, you're talking.
I mean, Taylor. Yeah. Taylor throwing Bohm out. I mean, it was great. And I don't know. It's just a lot of things are going right for the Mets right now. Carlos Mendoza's pushing all the right buttons. Seems like everybody's focused in. And again, I go back to when it was Pete Alonso's potentially last game at Citi Field, and we were talking about he needs to do something in the playoffs. Well, he is now doing something in the playoffs, and he is now, you know, I'm sure that he's feeling it. I know we as fans of Pete are feeling it, that if he can continue this, now he's back in the good graces of everybody, and how can the Mets get rid of him?
Yeah, I mean, and that I'll save that discussion for the off season. But it is great to think back to that last regular season game at Citi Field. He got a standing ovation from the fans because it might have been his last home game, and now he got a standing ovation from the fans last night because one, he won that Milwaukee Brewers series with that big home run, and he hits a home run last night. Similar home runs, opposite field. I mean, it's just just another layer of this storybook.
Come on, man, it's the Daniel Murphy thing. Come on, let's go.
He's got a little bit. He's got a ways to go to get to that hot. But you know he's capable of it. You know he's got it in there. All right, so we've got lots of stuff today to tell you about and give away. We got Rutgers, Wisconsin tickets in the 8 a.m. hour. Phil Simms joins us in the 8 a.m. hour, right at the top of 8 o'clock, and we'll get his opinion on Rob Saleh. By the way,
I do it.
I go, you know, I ask Phil for to send me
Phil
to send me Balance of Nature.
Yes.
He never sent me any Balance of Nature, right? But then I go into the commissary back here, and what do I see on the community table that says free to take? Balance of Nature.
I know. I'm sorry. I have your delivery.
Oh, do you?
I do. I just forgot it this morning.
Oh, okay. All right.
I promise I will have it tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Banana, papaya, apple, grape, wild blueberry, strawberry. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I've got them both here. And I'm going to pop a couple of these right before the interview.
Get yourself happy.
To make me happy.
Yes.
I do it. All right. Let's go to Mo in Brooklyn. What's going on, Mo? Good morning.
Guys, what a day. What a day. We have Ranger hockey starting for the Boomer Men. We got Mets games. We got Yankee games. We're going to the hopefully the World Series together. So we need Met fans for Yankees and Yankee fans for Mets. I don't want to hear any negativity on either side of the aisle. What do you guys think?
I'm totally with you. I love that. It makes our job a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, unless
when that is the case. Yes.
Well, of course.
And I would like to get Igor Shesterkin signed. That would be helpful if he would just be a little bit more realistic with his demands. You got to realize that for those Ranger fans out there, they'll end up getting him signed. Don't worry about it. He's important. He's the most important player on the team right now, and we will get him signed. But with all of that being said, we also have the Giants and the Bengals on Sunday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Bills at the Jets on Monday Night Football.
Yep.
I mean, you got to keep your head on a swivel, kid.
You absolutely do. And hopefully we're talking about both the Yankees and the Mets and their respective LCS. And that would be great. But yeah, I mean, I have had more Yankee fans in my life that have told me how much fun they're watching the Mets than I've ever heard, ever. Like, I've never heard how much fun the Met team is, and I'm really enjoying this Mets team.
Look at how they're winning games. That's why.
Well, yeah.
Ninth inning home runs, eighth inning home runs. You have contributions throughout the lineup. You have solid defense, great plays being made. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on that is a lot to be enjoying if you're watching the team.
Yeah. So one of my Yankee fan friends goes, this Mets team is so much more fun to watch than any Yankee team since 2017. And I said, well, it's not saying much, but yeah, you're right. You're right. Because the Yankees have been pretty boring throughout the last couple of years. Hopefully this is not one of those seasons.
You know, I honestly, for me, I am rooting very hard for Aaron Judge, much like I was rooting and am rooting for Pete Alonso. Because those are the names, those are the players that the fans absolutely love and adore and respect. But those are also the players that are frustrating at times. And I am rooting for Aaron Judge to have his breakout, you know, game tonight against Seth Lugo.
Yeah, it'd be a great time to do it. I still think that he's not going to go out with a whimper this postseason. There's just no way. He's too good. It's too good. Let's go to Chris in Smithtown. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let's go Mets. I'll be in the building tonight. I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. I'm sure it's going to be just as crazy, if not more, than last night. It was so good to see. It was so good to see that everybody was there early, because I know the Mets themselves were worried about that and the traffic, and the place was just buzzing before a first pitch.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. But I wanted to touch on the Rob Sala thing. I'm actually happy with the move. I feel like this team really needed a shakeup, and the main thing is because of the accountability factor. You've had 2 weeks in a row. Rodgers alluded to it after the Broncos game. Quincy Williams said it after the Vikings game. The slow starts. And I just think something had to be done. So I just wanted to get you guys' take on that piece of the whole thing.
I just want to see what the offense is going to do. I'm not worried about the defense. The defense has kept them in every single game, maybe with the exception of the 49er game, which was a complete and utter debacle.
Yeah, but that was the first game of the season. The Niners have not played well since then. And McCaffrey didn't play in that game either. But what's important about that is not, it was like we kind of chalked it up like, oh, it was the Niners, and the Niners are going to beat the Jets and whatever. It's a tough place to play. But the Niners have lost a couple games.
I know, but I'm just saying, and that's the only game where the defense really hasn't held up its end of the bargain.
Exactly, but I just, to make the point, of if you look at the beginnings of these seasons for Rob Sala, and I know that he hasn't had great teams and he hasn't had great quarterbacks. We know this until Aaron Rodgers got here. But they get off to miserable starts in these seasons. They look like hell. And then in the games, too, the starts of these games. So, I mean, that to me is a huge part of coaching and preparation. And I don't know if that's necessarily going to be able to be changed right away, especially when you're talking about someone who's in the building working under that guy. But Woody Johnson is rolling the dice on it and thinks that it will change.
So. I think Woody saw what everybody else saw, and that is an offense that is stagnant. That's an offense that can't get going. And I think Rob Sala has seen that as well. If all the reports are true that he was going to take away the play calling from from Nathaniel Hackett, first of all, I don't even know if Nathaniel Hackett's calling the plays. I think it feels like Aaron Rodgers is doing this. But again, the last two games, I really felt, and I don't know whose fault this is, usually the coach's fault, but it also because you have a 40-year-old, Hall of Fame quarterback controlling things. I think a lot of this goes on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders, too. Like, guys look like they're unprepared. Like, they got hit with blitzes and fire zones that a guy of his stature, you know, maybe once or twice in a season, I can see that happening and, or having a bad game. But back-to-back games where the opposing defense completely shut you down and knew exactly what you were doing and knew how to get to you because what they're seeing on tape themselves is a lack of creativity. And it's easy to actually, you know, the best thing about running the no-huddle offense in the 80s and 90s was that the defenses didn't know what we were doing. They didn't know who we had on the field. It was we were running fast. We were going quick. And, you know, that's the thing that Aaron has over everybody else is his brain. And you use that brain, you use it by going quickly at the line of scrimmage. I would do that. Maybe he wants to do it in a different way, but I always felt like the smarter I got on the field, I was going to try to use that to my advantage by going as quickly as I possibly could so the defense couldn't screw with me when we were playing. And it really does work when you actually employ that kind of tactic from an offensive standpoint. This is one of the reasons why a lot of the referees and officials in the games now, the umpire especially, he stands over the ball and doesn't let the offense go so quick.
Yeah.
Because they got to let all these different, because defensive coaches were complaining that they couldn't match up and all this other crap. Well, look, the offense is starting to now assert itself all throughout the NFL. And I think the Jets need to start catching up to that. Now, whether or not they add Davante Adams to this mix, which I think it would be great, but at the end of the day, it comes back to the quarterback. He should be able to control the game. And I see a lack of creativity from the offense. You know, back shoulder throws are great. Throwing slip screens out there are great. But, man, where's the movement? Where's the crossing patterns? Where are the bunch patterns that are getting guys free down the sideline? And, you know, when you play lesser teams, you can do that. And they did get away with that a little bit against, like, the Patriots. But when you play good defensive teams, and Buffalo's going to be a decent defensive team, not a great defensive team, but they should be able to move the ball against the Buffalo Bills and score a lot of points this week.
Let's go to Jim in New Jersey. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Boomer, you got to do me a favor.
Yes.
That guy sitting next to you, he's like Mush from the Bronx Tale. Okay? This guy's been trashing our Mets all year. So negative. And now this guy's, you know, talking him up and guaranteeing wins. It's just killing me watching this, so please, if you could just kind of throw a net over that guy, let's go with the one pitch, one batter, one anything.
That's all we got to do, man. Just don't worry about any Mushes. Don't worry about anybody that is taking
the
Mush you down.
From the Bronx Tale, man, yeah. I tell you. Yeah, you should have one of these jobs with that sort of creativity and originality.
Just
shh, for a second. Let me talk to this guy. I can't have two old people with terrible references talk about me with me sitting here without responding. All right? So, Jim,
okay.
First off, what were you saying about the Mets when they were 11 games under 500? Were you believing that they would be one game away from the NLCS? There are so many examples of fans who are down on their team, and then the team starts playing well, and then you're like, hey, this is fun. I have said time and time again, I was wrong about the team.
I know you have. You have. That's
why I was dead wrong.
You know,
how many times do I have to admit it? And then, like, the fan police out there, oh, you're not allowed to root for them now because you thought they were going to stink. Because you saw into the future and you thought they'd be one game away from the NLCS and beating the Phillies. No, you didn't, Jim. No, you didn't. So stop with this nonsense.
Okay.
Stop it. They made a whole goddamn movie about guys like fans like me and Sal and Frank the Tank. What do you want to be? Want me to be Randy Quaid in Major League and being upset that the team is winning? Like, what do you expect?
And hey, Boomer, do me a favor. Tell that guy sitting next to you, because me and you, we're the tough guys, and that guy's a wussbag. You tell him, because I can't talk to him myself. So I'll talk to you, because you get it. But I can't challenge the guy when I'm on the phone. Throw a net around that guy. Let me make another terrible movie reference because I don't have a sense of humor myself. Duh, 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 duh.
Up your ass, you scumbag.
Here we go.
Maria in Rhode Island. What's going on, Maria? Okay.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking my call. I am from Smithfield, Rhode Island. I think I'm the only Yankee fan in the whole area of Smithfield in the northwest of Rhode Island, but I listen to you guys every morning. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'm at work laughing myself off when you have all those jokes and everything, but Gio, you're much more handsome than Charles Palamentary, so I don't know what that guy's talking about. But go Yanks, go Mets. It's a New York season, so thank you guys so much. I just wanted to talk to you guys.
Ah, you're welcome, Maria. Thanks, thank Maria. You. Thank you very much. I mean, see, that's a good call.
Real fan of the show there.
Listen, I know that you have said over and over and over again what you just said about what you said earlier about the Mets this season. If you go back to this radio station in the month of May and June, everyone on this radio station, every fan who called into this radio station, basically were ripping them apart. That's sports. If a team is not performing, if your best player is not hitting, if somebody's in a slump or somebody throws three interceptions like Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
guess what? Fans are going to be pissed. And this is the place for you to get it off your chest. And for us, we are lucky enough that we come in here and we get to talk in front of the microphone for 4 hours every day and give our own opinions about what we think we see. And we have to be honest with our emotions, much like our callers are honest with their emotions. So everybody just needs to just relax about what happened back in May and June.
Yeah, but you know,
enjoy
what?
This unbelievable right. ride that the Mets have brought us on and we're lucky to be a part of. And you know what? I remember around the trading deadline and Steve Cohen, David Stearns, the players all said, we want additions. We want help. We want to be a team that's going to be reckoned with later on in the season. And damn if they weren't right.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, the callers like Jim and these others that call up, if I sat here and was like, think about this. If I was like, you know, I still don't think this team has it. I think that they shouldn't even be in the playoffs. You know, they stink. I was right about this. They stink. You people would be killing me. So there's nothing that these fans, these Mets fans, there's nothing, the ones like that.
Yeah, but
like
you're a great Mets fan yourself, though.
Chill out. There was,
but you are a
right.
great, you are a great
stop
Mets
it.
Fan.
I'm not. There's no levels of fans. It's one of my least favorite things. Like, there's levels of good fan, bad fan, great fan. The Mets can mean to you whatever you want them to mean to you. There is no rule book out there. There's none. If you want to be a
sports,
psycho,
it happens in the moment.
If you want to be a psycho like Evan Roberts, be a psycho like Evan Roberts. If you want to dip in and dip out, you know, dip in. I don't care. I don't know why everybody else cares.
In 3 months from today, I know Al wrote this down as a reminder, and I think I need Al to write this down as another reminder. Remember, he was talking about tipping off point for the
tipping
Yankees.
Tipping point, yeah.
Big point. You know, like, you know, Aaron Boone's going to get fired if they lose this series to Kansas City. I think we all recognize that.
Yeah.
And that's why you were saying yesterday that you felt like we were at a tipping point with the Yankees where they have got to win. Remember that whole tipping point discussion?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, I want you to write down right now that this is a tipping point for the New York Jets.
So we got two tipping points in 1 week?
Yes, we got two tipping points in 1 week. And today is the Jets' tipping point, given what happened yesterday.
Okay.
So today starts a new day now. You know, Robert Saleh, for whatever reason, was escorted out of the building without being able to go talk to the team. That's a whole nother side of the story that I really would like to get the bottom of. I don't know why that is the case. I'm not really sure.
Maybe Aaron was dressing the team at the time as
But I think Rob, knowing Rob the way I think I know him, he would have said all the right things, done all the right things, and would have probably apologized for not getting the team to where the team should be. That's what I think Rob Saleh would have done. But for some wacky reason, and I don't know if it's wacky. I shouldn't use that word. But for some really unique reason, he was not allowed to talk to the team, and he was escorted out of the building. As I understand it, I don't know why. But so, Al, write that down. Today, October 9th, 2024, tipping point for the Jets, and hopefully in 3 months, we're talking about how this changed the trajectory of this team. Much like whatever happened in the middle of the season for the New York Mets.
Right.
So I got to look on January 9th.
Yeah, I would think that would be a fair elapsed amount of time that would give us an understanding of where the Jets stand. And they're playing for freaking first place on Monday night.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Let's get right to Jerry. What's up, Jerry? What do you got this
hour? Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app. Doot, doot, doot. And roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So we'll get to one of the key points in this Met win last night because momentum. A lot to do in baseball.
Mr. Momentum has changed his address.
That's exactly right. The Mets had the bases loaded. Up 2-0, nobody out in the sixth inning, and they get a, the next two guys got out. And you were thinking that the Phillies were going to get out of it, and they had a lot of boppers coming up in the next inning. You never know what was going to happen, but instead, Starling Marte to the rescue.
The 1-0, line to left center field. That's a base hit. Nimmo is in. Alonso rounds third. He's going to score. The throw goes to third. Stopping at second is Iglesias, and on at first with a clutch two-run single is Starling Marte. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-0.
And that was Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Radio 4-0. Then Jose Iglesias, a two-run single in the seventh, made it 6-0. 7-2, ultimately the final score as the Mets take game three of this NLDS. Here was Francisco Lindor on TBS. He would cap the Mets scoring with an RBI double. Says just a quality win up and down the order.
Nobody's trying to be bigger in the moment. Everybody's passing the baton. Everybody's enjoying the process. Everybody's in the moment. And, this is a great moment that we're in right now. We just got to keep our heads down and keep working.
And that was on TBS. Pete Alonso, who homered early in this game. So did Jesse Winker, by the way. Alonso on SNY, able to get to Aaron Nola.
He's a great arm. He's a super talented pitcher. I'm just really happy I was able to capitalize and have good at-bats off him all night. I mean, he's a great pitcher. It was a tough challenge for us, but I'm glad we came out on top.
Two things I didn't know about this whole thing before last night. A, that they had this whole college thing going on, that Nola, basically dominated him in college when he was a senior and Pete was a freshman. And two, the fact that Nola hasn't missed a start in 5 years.
Yeah.
Or six
years. It's really truly amazing.
Remarkable.
For a pitcher. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, I was going to say, tonight's starter for the Mets, Jose Quintana, has been good, been really good over his last five or six starts, including that start in Milwaukee that he had.
Yep.
So, two lefties going after each other tonight. A lot of right-handed hitters in these lineups. And two of the most important hitters for the Phillies are lefty. In Schwarber and, of course, Harper. So hopefully Jose Quintana's got his stuff going tonight.
And hopefully he can be like Sean Manaea. And you mentioned Harper. Here he was. Props to Manaea on the job he did. 7-plus innings, 3-hit balls, 6 strikeouts, and that one big one of him that you just referenced.
I thought Manaea threw the ball really well. He was throwing the ball really well. It was late. So he got us today, beat us. Obviously, we had some situations, me personally as well. Didn't come through and didn't let it happen. So...
The strikeout of Harper was awesome, though.
It was. And, you don't have to throw the ball 98 miles an hour to get guys out. About pitch placement. And as we're listening to Adam Wainwright do these games, I mean, he's right on it. And he's talking about, the next pitch, and he and Brzezinski are doing a great job. I like the way that they're doing the games.
Yeah.
They're not over-talking. They're not... It's not about them. A couple of laughs here and there.
So, I agree. I think they've been very good.
I think they've been really good, yeah.
The late night. So if the Mets do win, or if the Phillies win, whoever, the winner of this series will play the winner of the Padres and Dodgers. And last night, San Diego got the jump on L.A.
Still 1-2, 1-1 game. Peralta, ground ball, fair ball, beyond a diving Freddie Freeman, into the right field corner. 1-1 will score. Bogart's being waved around. There won't be a relay home. San Diego has the lead. A two-run double from the old Dodger, David Peralta.
And then they would get a home run from Fernando Tatis. They would score 6 runs in the second inning, and they would hold on to beat L.A. 6-5. That was Dodgers radio with the call. So San Diego up 2-1. Game 4 tonight, they've got Dylan Cease making the start. L.A. likely to go bullpen game. You've got the Tigers and Guardians at 3, and then the day... closes out with the Yankees and the Royals at 7:08. We will have it for you on the Fan. Clark Schmidt, 5-5 on the season, ERA 2.85, takes on 16-game winner and the former Met in Seth Lugo. All right, we got some of this reaction from the Jets firing Robert Saleh yesterday. They named defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich their interim head coach. As you can imagine, this made the rounds on very popular shows. Maybe the most popular one, if you have heard of this, maybe not, you could download it. It's called the Postgame Podcast with Al and Jerry. As we were doing our thing, and Eddie Scazzeri got into Al's ear.
And Eddie said that at 10:08, the Jets fired Rob Saleh.
Holy crap.
That's wild.
Okay. How about that?
Isn't that that's shocking to me.
Especially they let him talk to the media yesterday.
Yeah.
God damn. All right, so that's one. Then there's simultaneously.
Good job, guys.
While we were reacting.
Broke that down. Yeah.
Real time.
Yeah, real time.
In real time, BT and Sal reacting to the news.
Wow. All right, first of all, that is stunning.
I got goosebumps, man.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Then there's Joe B. with Jake Asman on his podcast as this was happening.
Wow. Wow. Are you serious?
I swear to you.
Mm-hmm. A lot of wows, if you haven't noticed. Then there's ESPN. You had First Take as they broke in.
Breaking news into First Take that Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, has been fired. I'll get you more details as they come in.
And that was Shannon Sharp with the what there at the end. And then after Stephen A. Smith gave his opinion on what's going on, Shannon goes to one guy that's responsible for this.
Robert's not letting lose the team. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers undercut this man by not coming to mandatory minicamp. And we heard the mumbles. We heard people outside saying how that looked. Because mandatory, well, I think they just stick a gate. They stick, then they put that word mandatory. Mandatory has always meant the same thing, Fox. You know what mandatory means. They have one of those where you are required. The others are voluntary. We know what volunteer means. We know what mandatory means.
And he has continued this assault on Rogers, which is funny.
Now, excuse me while I have sex with this woman on YouTube.
That did not happen.
Oh, sorry.
He did finish his thought.
The moment that Aaron Rodgers did that, Robert Saleh had no control because the guys are looking at him. This guy's supposed to be our leader. This is the guy that we're supposed to count on.
No, not anymore. He was gone after five games this year and three seasons. And so with all that, it's time now for Whose Voice Is That? I'm going to play you a clip. You're going to hear the clip, and you're going to tell me if you think you know whose voice that might be. I'm going to give you, it's a word, it's a quick word. You're going to tell me whose voice this is. Are you ready? Whose voice is that?
Serious.
Now, that could be the guy in the smoking commercial. It could be. It's very possible. It could be some actor from a thrilling movie.
It's Brandon Tierney.
Serious.
I mean, it sounds like Tierney.
It is Brandon Tierney. That's a cool voice, though, is it not?
Serious. Yeah. What? Are you serious?
Adam Schefter just put it out now.
I mean, step off the ledge for a second.
Are you serious?
He's got a career in voiceover work if you would like one.
Yeah, when he gets down deep like that, man, all that testosterone.
Serious.
Serious.
I love that voice.
Yeah.
I heard that live. I thought that was fabulous.
You know, by the way, you nibble bit us with this
station stuff.
Station stuff.
Yeah, and serious.
Yeah, and I was just wondering if you want to bring it up with Jerry here.
No, not yet, because I just got the full clip. I need to listen to it.
Serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Has nothing to do with BT and Sal, by the way. There's
serious. Mm-hmm.
All right, okay.
All right, very good. Saints quarterback Derek Carr out indefinitely with an oblique injury, so that's not very good news. The Patriots reportedly starting Drake May at quarterback this week against the Texans. The Rangers do open tonight in Pittsburgh. And yes, I heard you mention it. Igor Shesterkin turned down 8 years, $88 million, according to reports, would have made him the richest goalie in league history. We'll see what he gets going forward.
And he'll get a little bit more.
Perhaps. And the Utah Hockey Club beat the Blackhawks 5-2 in Salt Lake City, and we are off and running with the
juggernaut.
Season. Juggernaut.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. All right, so you heard the audio that has to do with the scuttlebutt here, host on host crime, I guess you could say. Do you believe that this is scuttlebutt worthy after listening to that?
Yeah, I think it's scuttlebutt worthy, but I think there's one person who's trying to entertain and another person who's taking things personally. That's what I think. I think there's one person that shows up and looks at this from working with
somebody who I worked with for 10 years. Like, this is an entertaining business. I think you're great at it. I think Craig was great at it. I think Evan has become a big part of that. I know that Lou Gower and Morash are a big part of that show in the afternoon. I think they are very entertaining when they're scuffling back and forth and creating content and doing what they're doing. And, of course, we all know Tommy Lou Gower is a generational talent because he's told us that.
Yeah, generation.
And sooner or later, like, you just get told that over and over and over. It's like being waterboarded, you know, just like, okay, I got it. You're a generational talent already.
Yeah, I mean, he likes to hammer the same stuff home all the time.
That's positive Tommy when it comes
positive
to our
Tommy,
minutes.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. I will lead us generational talent.
But here's the thing. It sticks.
Sure, yeah.
Dudes, dogs, and damage. Yeah, yeah. Right? Come on, man. This stuff sticks. Sure. So you got to give credit to those guys for doing what they're doing. And I actually find them to be very funny at times. But somebody on this station takes whatever they're doing way too seriously and just can't help themselves. And I think violated what I would consider in good practice, you know, stabbing the home team in the back. I mean, just shiv the home team in the back. That's how I initially take it. So,
okay. All right.
I've been around here for a long time, and I've listened to guys kind of like make fun of each other on the air, including yours truly.
Yeah.
It's been thrown at me. I throw it at people. You laugh and you move on, and everything's great.
Sure.
Because, you know, they got a show. We got a show. They got content. We got content. Sometimes we use their content as our content and laugh at it.
Stinks.
Giannotti, I mean, he is short on ability. I'm sorry.
I beat Eddie to it. He is short on ability.
Right.
I mean, no wonder your show stinks, okay? You stop with the impersonations, all right? God, get some new material.
Get some ratings and just learn how to do a show.
See, that's the kind of crap that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, there's somebody that just takes something way too seriously.
Right.
And blows it into something that it doesn't need to be blown into.
Exactly. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting here going, okay, we're back.
And well, you're like, working on your show. You're trying to recreate that show.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Right, the greatest there ever was.
Yeah.
All right, we can get to that a little bit later, play some of that audio coming up with what we're talking about. But, yeah, I mean, It was an attack. It was a full-blown, personal attack.
It sounded like a very insecure attack to me. I don't know if this person is or not, but when we get to it, we'll let the listeners figure it all out.
All right, Linda in Long Beach. What's going on, Linda?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning, Linda. What's happening today?
Charlie, I am right with you. The Mets were usually cooked by mid-June. And then the Jets were usually cooked by mid-September, even beginning of October. It was impossible. It was impossible to listen to, impossible to watch, and I didn't want to listen to the fans because I hated to listen to the whining. Whining about how bad the Mets were. Whining about how bad the Jets were. Listen, Rob Saleh, probably the nicest guy in the world, but he needed to go. Did not develop Zach Wilson. And now they're talking about Sauce Gardner being a bust. You can't make this crap up. They have to develop. He is the head of the snake, and when the snake isn't behaving, you have to chop the head off, and that's the way it goes.
Oh, thanks, Linda.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Woody Johnson is the head of the snake, and no one's chopping that head off.
Right,
natural causes.
I was just telling Gio in off air, I said, you know, the firing reminds me of a fight internally. There's no question about that. The owner has chosen sides. He has chosen Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett. I can't speak for Matt LaFleur up in Green Bay, but I'm sure he was elated when Nathaniel Hackett got the job in Denver, and he got that job in Denver because Denver thought that was going to bring Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos. But Aaron Rodgers said, during his last year in Green Bay that, you know, he didn't want to leave his guys behind, his buddies. Wanted to play one more year with those guys. When in actuality, I think Matt LaFleur would have loved to have traded him to Denver when he could have.
Yeah, what's Rodgers going to say today on McAfee?
He's not going on McAfee today. That got pushed back, is he?
He didn't go on yesterday. And he's on today.
So it's on today? Yeah. This is going to be, listen, a lot of it's going to be pointed at him. Look, man, Aaron, you're here in New York. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody thinks you're the one that's behind this. By what we've seen on the sideline, by what we hear in the press conferences, and it is real. And I'm sure he will be feel terrible for Rob Saleh. That's what he'll probably say today. I don't know why they did this. But honestly, quite frankly, if you point at any part of the team that has not held up its bargain, it's been the offense. The offense lacks creativity. And when they play against good defenses, you know, they get pushed around, they get shoved around, there's turnovers. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they haven't played together a lot. So I do want to give some understanding there. But in regards to the way this thing looks, it looks like they are unprepared offensively. That, to me, is right square on the shoulders of the great offensive coordinator that was brought in here because his buddy Aaron Rodgers wanted him here.